You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Sarah Park and Mark Barrow. Sarah and Mark, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
So we're going to talk about your show, of course, at JDJ World. And before we get into the individual works, I'd like to talk about the fact that this is a collaborative process, and that's why I'm talking to both of you here. So in this specific show, can you tell me a little bit about the process that you both work? I want to get into the kind of details of this, but what is your working process collaboratively, and also how do things build? Do they start out with sketches, or how do these works get built together?
We often start with sketches, and all of the paintings and works are pretty planned out. So we'll either, I think Sarah likes to draw by hand, and I like to draw often on the computer. So we kind of go back and forth and kind of plan out the compositions before we start either the works on paper or the paintings.
Yeah, so we'll talk about ideas together, and then like Mark said, we just kind of pass it back and forth.
And how did that begin, the collaboration? I mean, I'm very sympathetic. I'm also an artist that collaborates with my wife under another name, so I get it to some degree, but everybody has a different process, right? How do you guys commit to this, and what is the kind of practice, yeah, moving forward?
It kind of evolved over time, but in the beginning, Mark was painting on the canvases, and he was sort of painting every grain of the canvas. And then he asked me to, I have a weaving background, and he asked me to make some fabrics for him that had like a little bit more variation in the surface.
All of the like structures for canvas or linen that you can get in the store, it's all pretty much the same. It's just plain weave, or there's some like basket weave, but it's pretty much the same structure. And I was kind of following the structure to make the paintings, and just thought they would be more interesting if Sarah made some different structures.
You're talking about is actually the weave of the linen or the weave of the cotton duck?
Yes. Yeah. So in the beginning, I was more just making these textiles and for Mark. And then over time, it turned into more of a collaboration where we were talking about it together.
I think just as it sort of started as like wanting a more interesting structure, but then I don't have a background in weaving, but as I began to understand conceptually how it works and sort of the history of it, and then just all the sort of narratives around it and how it intersected with other forms, that really became the most interesting part of making something. And I sort of only came to that through Sarah and then her kind of background in it. Like, she's the only one who does any of the weaving for the works now. And so as that became sort of the driving force of like what was interesting and how we kind of moved from one work to the next, it just evolved into like a collaboration, I guess.
So Sarah, can you tell me a little bit about how the fabric is hand loomed? I've never spoken with an artist that makes their own canvas. I mean, people of course work on different things, but the idea of hand loomed fabric that you're working on sounds like so cool and so exotic, really. How is that done? Is it done on a traditional loom? I would imagine like the kind of type of, and I don't know about making linen or cotton duck much, but it seemed to be a very tight weave. What is happening on the loom? Can you tell me about how you're doing it and how it's made for paint or embroidery?
Yeah, I have a traditional 8-harness floor loom, and I started weaving in college. Mark and I went to RISD for undergrad, and I really fell in love with weaving there. And so actually at one point, I think I had maybe 4 looms.
we have a lot of looms.
I have a lot of big ones.
And why so much? Why so many looms? Are they different types of weaving? Is it different widths? Why the different looms?
It's really because the setup of them is so involved. So you have to wind the warp. And then once you put the warp on, kind of sets the color for all of the fabrics that will come off of it. So I had different looms so that, you know, there could be one with maybe like a dark warp and one with a light warp, and then go back and forth between them without having to redo the setup each time. But so first you wind the warp, and then you put the warp on, and then you thread through all the harnesses. And when you're doing the threading process, that's determining your pattern. So that gets kind of set into the loom setup.
And to make a piece of fabric that's wide enough for the paintings that we're making, which aren't that big, but maybe 20 to 30 inches wide, we need, like Sarah's counting, probably 1,800 strands, and then you do that times however many yards long you want to make your warp, because we're trying to get, you know, at least 3 or 4 paintings on each warp. So it's counting 1,800 threads, winding them, and then winding them onto the loom, and then threading each thread individually, like through, like it's like a little metal thing that you kind of have to like thread it through like a needle almost.
The heddle.
Yeah.
Oh, what? That's called the...
The heddle.
The heddle. I love all those words. Okay, let's talk about, because they're so foreign to me, right? And it's great. Some of the works in here, one of them is called C:/, and it's 2022. And this is a work that has trees on the top, 3 trees. We see their roots, and it looks like a whole underground system, and even numbers are coming out of this. So to me, this is a really fantastic piece on a number of levels. If you guys could, walk me through some of this. It looks like it's partially gessoed, or maybe it's fully gessoed. It's painted. And then this kind of embroidery is on top of it, right? And some of the embroidery looks really intricate, including the numbers, which is hard to understand how it's even done. But is that partly what's happening on here? Did I get that right?
That painting doesn't have embroidery on it. That one is just a woven fabric that's stretched and then painted on. But,
okay, so all the white work, all the white kind of lines over the roots of the trees, that's all painted.
That is a pattern that we made that we were looking at lace, and we just painted it kind of. That's why it looks like thread, because it was like we made our own lace pattern for that.
I see. Right. Because it does. It looks remarkably like thread. And this is a partially gessoed canvas, or it's fully gessoed?
It's fully...
Would you call it canvas? Sorry to interrupt you. Would you call it canvas, or you're calling it... this is linen, right, that you're making?
Yeah. I mean, we call it canvas or linen.
Yeah, you can call it canvas. I mean, we made the canvas, but
it's fully primed with like a clear matte like acrylic medium, And then the white at the top is like watered down gesso to kind of get two different colored grounds before we start
I see.
on.
That's so cool. Right. So you're looking through the gesso at the fabric underneath, which gives it that kind of raw look, right?
Yeah. And then the
And so
lower
tell so,
portion.
yeah, tell me about the lower portion. Well, the how it's built, but also, yeah, it feels like there's a story here, something that's happening beneath the ground.
So the lower portion, the ground, you can see kind of all of the threads of the canvas. That's kind of like the furthest back layer. And then we painted this root structure, which we kind of copied a pattern from, I think it was like a Persian rug or something like that. And we turned the sort of, what do you call that type of pattern?
Paisley.
Kind of like a paisley type pattern. We turned those forms into like these winding roots. And then some of it is painted like a watercolor. Some of it we paint with like a tiny brush where we're just like tracing the individual threads of the fabric that's woven underneath. Some of it are like little squares that kind of represent the fabric, like that's what the pattern is, and the fabric kind of blown up. And then the numbers that corresponds to how Sarah, what like sets up the loom to make the, like those numbers correspond with like what petals you step on to raise the different harnesses to make the pattern. So
Yeah.
they're all sort of like different.
The weaving draft.
They're sort of different representations of that fabric.
And what is that called? The weaving what?
Draft.
The weaving draft. Yeah, that's so cool. So that's also like there's one called ON10N2. That's also the weaving draft.
Yes.
And the weaving draft is the position of the petals. I mean, I really know so little about that particular thing, but what is it, the draft exactly?
It's kind of like a notation, like you can plan out on graph paper how the threads go either over or under to make the structure. And so it's like the weaving draft will kind of show the pattern almost in like a pixelated form, like just like either the squares of the like graph paper would be colored black or left blank. And then it also shows like the loom we have is an eight harness loom. So that means there's eight harnesses, and then there's eight petals that correspond to those harnesses. And then you put each individual thread through one of the harnesses. And then depending which petal you step on and how those petals are connected to the harnesses, it raises different ones and lowers other ones. And so it's all sort of like this.
Like the code or
Yeah.
the instructions, I guess, on how to make the fabric.
It's almost like a
Yeah.
musical score. It like tells Sarah which thread to put in which order, and then like which petals to step on in which order to like make the pattern that we're trying to make.
And then that's, of course, combined with all this other types of work, right? Like in Woman 4, this is acrylic and also embroidery on here, right? Here's one where there's some embroidery done throughout, right? This is a similar process, but then you're going through and you're embroidering this. How does the embroidery work? Is that also done with a kind of programming or I don't know a lot about embroidery that's not hand embroidered. I know there's different artists use different types of kind of programmable machinery or something like that, right? How does the embroidery work on this one, Woman 4?
So, these are all hand embroidered, but I'm following the pattern of the fabric underneath. And so the fabric is sort of like it's the grid, and this embroidery is following that pattern and sort of highlighting like a different portion of the pattern.
I see.
Interesting.
Yeah, were you going to say something? I thought Mark was going to say something. No.
Well, it's sort of the, you can see, I guess, in the top portion, like behind the white, which is again just like a little bit of gesso. You can like see through the gesso, and there's sort of that lattice structure, like a diamond almost structure. That's the fabric. And then there's kind of a light blue shape with little squares forming the diamonds. So that's kind of like that's like the weaving draft. Like that's what the weaving draft looks like.
I
And
see, I
then
see.
the embroidered part is kind of the biggest section in the middle, and Sarah's just sort of like highlighting the perimeter of those diamond shapes in the fabric by
I love how that
embroidering on the
looks.
fabric.
Yeah, such a beautiful process. The embroidery on top of that as well, all these layers. The painting that I mentioned before, 0N10N, this is acrylic on and also on hand loom linen. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the imagery in here. We have what look like onions. There's also numbers running across this, and then probably the most narrative thing in here, there's a section of a crossword puzzle. We're looking at words, and the ground really pops out. Is there a narrative to this? It feels like there's a story being told. Is there? And if so, what is it?
I think we were looking at just different systems, sort of based off of networks and grids. And so we've kind of had a long interest in plants and their relationship to weaving. And so this was like a diagram of an onion's root structure that we kind of made into a pattern. So the middle kind of white shape has that onion pattern painted on it. And then kind of each form is a different sort of representation of the patterns. Like the numbers again correspond to the loom. The kind of pixelated patterns are a blown up version of the pattern in the fabric. Again, coming from like the weaving draft. And then the section of the crossword puzzle, we're just sort of like thinking about information, I guess, that's conveyed in a grid. And then the sort of title of the painting was also like a little bit of like wordplay, like we were interested in the onion. And so it's just called Onion, but kind of replacing the letters with like ones and zeros because just kind of like pointing out the binary nature of the loom and its relationship to computers.
I like that. Yeah, it's so interesting. I guess right, that's the language that you're working with here. I want to ask you one more question, but is there anything you wanted to add to that, Sarah, talking about that particular work that you wanted to add, talking about onion? 0N10N?
Just that I think we were just trying to explore different ways of showing systems. And I think, I don't know, like with each series of paintings, I feel like we kind of add, like, I don't know, like another element to this language.
It's almost sort of like, almost like a like vocabulary lesson. Like we're just kind of like staking out the terms of like the language we're building, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. It's been such a pleasure talking with you both. For listeners, of course, there's more links to get further involved and see more. I want to ask you one more question. What are you both reading at the moment?
We just finished a lot of reading for our show that's, I guess, up for one more week. It was a lot of anthropology. We're kind of reading about Weaving's relationship to plants and our kind of like earliest foundational conceptual system. So going back to like earliest humans and when Weaving started. So I think I finished reading The Dawn of Everything, and Sarah's most of the way through it. And then,
well, The Dawn of Everything, I mean, that's kind of about, I'm working my way through that too. That's sort of about everything. That's not just about anthropology. That's about like how we're viewing the entire history of the world, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of a tome to get through, but
yeah, it is. I'm not through it yet.
I guess what we're like particularly interested in is just that kind of the conceptual leap required to weave something for the first time, which was done using plants, and kind of predated even like agriculture. That kind of was one of the first complex abstract thoughts, and Graeber and Wengrow kind of postulate that it's hard to imagine any sort of development of what we call civilization, whether it's language or architecture or whatever, could not have been, it's hard to imagine that without that sort of logic and conceptual leap of weaving or beadwork, which I think are kind of related. So that's kind of very fascinating to us, that weaving is kind of at the center, is kind of at the center of everything. I mean, it certainly is in our practice, but then like kind of like maybe being able to like branch out to even like everything, or like every kind of piece of progress kind of started in this moment, that's kind of like mind-blowing to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you going to say something else, Sarah, about a book you're reading?
Well, I also just finished reading In Defense of Food, which is Michael Pollan, so I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm still thinking about it, but I think there's something interesting there about, also just about like systems and stories or the myths that we're told and how that applies with, you know, what we're eating and what we're growing and how we're all thinking about that. But I'm still kind of thinking about it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I want to thank you both for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time, Mark and Sarah. And, of course, for listeners, hope you get to see the show before it closes. Otherwise, there's more links to find out about it here. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.